for the movies that people are looking at now, Baby Driver is one. Of course, a car theme. We're going to try to have a little car angle in each one of the movies that you're going to be reviewing. But this one has gotten, not only from Lise, you know, our esteemed producer who said she loves it. You said you love it. I've heard great things. I haven't seen it yet. Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. So this is a movie written and directed by Edgar Wright, who is known from Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, The World's End, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World, for those that aren't familiar with his Cornetto trilogy. But this has sort of been his passion project. This is the movie he's wanted to make forever. I believe it's been over 22 years. I just listened to a podcast recently where he was describing how he had been editing a student film that he was making, the first thing he ever made, and he was writing down ideas for how to make this movie happen. The car chases, the style, character descriptions, things like that. So this is one of those passion projects that, you know, I mean, I'm glad he made the movie. I loved every minute of it. But at the same time, you get to see how this guy who loves movies, and you see that when you watch his films, he's a lover of film, but also a great director, trying to get that out and get it made. And he did it, and it's doing very well, as it should be.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, go see it.
Well, you and I have talked about a lot of different films out there and just kind of the level of difficulty to do some of the things and make them as exciting as possible. It's changed, right? There are a lot of things because of the technology, the CGI, that have been have become easier. Do you think that if you would have been able to make this movie 25 years ago with all of those challenges, right, that it would have been as good? Or is it really a good thing he didn't get what he wanted so many years ago?
The only reason I would say that it's good that he didn't get what he wanted so many years ago is that now he has the pull to be able to get the actors that he would have wanted to be in this film, that he was able to have access to, you know, the equipment camera-wise to make, because this is a very practically made film.
Name off some of the stars of the film.
I mean, Kevin Spacey, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, Ansel Elgort, who
Jamie Foxx would have been much too young to make this.
He would have. And by the way, this is one of Jamie Foxx's best performances since Ray. I think it's one of those things where he's like part of the machinations of the film. He's not the star of the film, but he delivers a star level performance in a supporting role.
Right.
And then, you know, you've got this type of heist driven plot where this kid who's trying to pay off a debt, you know, try to get out of
crime. So many kids are. Is it money that he owes to, let's say, the mob, or is it maybe student loans?
It's money that he owes to Kevin Spacey.
Oh no.
And so
he could get creepy. We've all seen.
He does. Yeah. And every single job that he does, he gets a small cut to take home, but he's paying off this massive amount of money that he's had to, you know, pay off for several years. You get the sense that he's been doing this since he was legally allowed to drive.
Right.
But he's been boosting cars since before he was legally allowed to drive. And the cool element of the film really,
it's always good
me,
when you get a loan shark that can at least understand and appreciate some of your talents and capabilities.
Your talents and apply your skills, yes, to better his own enterprises. But in this case, you know, the big kitch to the movie, and it's in one of the trailers, is that, you know, the kid suffers from tinnitus in the ear. So he's got a constant ringing, and he always listens to music. That opens up what is probably going to, even by the end of the year, no question, the best soundtrack of the year.
Is that possible?
It is so good that it is. Everybody kind of applauds Quentin Tarantino, even if they don't like him, for how well he soundtracks his films.
Definitely.
Edgar Wright and Tarantino are kind of on the same wavelength, but I would say that this is, if this is Edgar Wright's opus, I don't know that even he would ever be able to better soundtrack a film. And everything he's ever done has been soundtracked excellently, but this particular time around, coupled with the way he has his films edited, the way they're shot, and Bill Pope was a brilliant cinematographer. He worked on The Matrix. He's worked on Team America, World Police, you know, big titles. Baby Driver.
Wait a minute. I cannot let that go. Because, number one, I love the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But you're mentioning some of the cinematic classics, right? Especially when you think of marionette-based entertainment,
yes.
Team America, World Police.
Yes, the definitive marionette film, so to speak.
I mean, you have not seen a marionette film until you've enjoyed that. Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, forget about it.
Yeah, forget whatever. Punch and Judy, who is that? Like, you want to talk puppets, marionettes, the whole deal? No, Team America, that's got to be top of the list.
We use some of them in some of the bumpers that we have on the show here, but car-related music, or music that goes along with cars, or time periods, or that's a lot of the times that we get to enjoy music is while we're driving in our car. It's kind of that downtime. You kind of have a little bit of time to, you know, be at one with yourself and all that. On the soundtrack side, and you and I have talked about how much we appreciated the soundtracks for Guardians of the Galaxy, where you take what are classics but have become relatively obscure over time.
Correct.
Where it's not the kind of thing that you're like, oh yeah, it's more like, oh yeah.
And it's cool to see that type of those tracks go from, I wouldn't say obscurity, because, you know, they're always heralded as good tracks,
right,
but a matter of like, Nobody was listening to them. The movie comes out, and now everybody's listening to them on Spotify. Everybody's listening to them on Google Play. You know, they're getting back out there, and then they're somehow ending back up on charts. And it's like, good. We should be loving good music. And this film, by the way, feels like a musical in a lot of ways, in the way that it plays along with its soundtrack. And again, how he edits his films, how they're shot, acted, the action, the chase sequences, they are a treat from start to finish.
Well, you're going to know this. You're going to know some of this stuff. Have we seen sort of this kind of renaissance of the soundtrack, of the music genre, where you're going back and taking some of these classics, as opposed to when you look at kind of, you know, the Star Wars movies or, you know, Rocky or something, where you've got like these big orchestras and they create new music for everything. All great, but still not the same.
Yeah. And I mean, every film, for the most part, unless it's one of those nice little tidbits on IMDb in the trivia section where, like, you know, no music was scored. All of this was pulled, you know, as a soundtrack. Everything gets written, and there's always some sort of melody or medley or something that, you know, just sort of is that film. This isn't one where it has this iconic score to it, but it is one that has those iconic tracks that maybe you forgot about.
Right.
Maybe you haven't heard in a while, and maybe you've only ever heard them on an oldie station, but for some reason, when you pair them with the imagery on the screen and the story that's being told, it's got a whole new look to it and a whole new sound. And so you're really starting to appreciate it more, and it's going to end up in your playlist.
Yeah, people are appreciating Baby Driver, including Lisa, our producer. You saw it. Now, I wouldn't necessarily think, and I think we had talked a little bit about it. You were reading through some of the available movies, said you wanted to see one. You know, it didn't jump off the page to you, but once you saw it, you couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, hi.
Hi, Lisa here.
I'm like a geek about this movie, and I actually listened to a podcast. Was it Comedy Bang Bang that you listened to?
It was Nerdist. Oh, okay. It was a sit down with Chris
Another
Hardwick.
Another nerdy one.
But, very nerdy.
Yeah.
One, yes.
He was talking about it on Comedy Bang Bang, the Edgar Wright. And he
no
said
relation
that,
to Chitty Chitty.
No.
Bang
no.
Bang.
They had an editor on site. Mm-hmm. So that was just really interesting. Like, they would get like these rough cuts so that it would be perfectly timed to the music. I mean, and that's just the amazing thing about the film.
And he's always been one of those big purveyors, he and Darren Aronofsky, of what's called a hip-hop montage, which is a lot of close-up, fast-cut, set-to-sound.
Booty shaking.
Booty shaking. But you feel these things happen so quickly, and they're very frenetic, and they keep you in the moment, but also they serve as sometimes segues into new scenes. Right. So if it's you jump in a car and you hear the door open, you hear them, you see them sit down, you see the belt buckle slap, you know, together, you see them shut the door and turn the ignition, all of that happens in the matter of like less than 2 seconds. But it's a quick, boom, 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 boom. So you never feel bored when you watch his films. And that's one of the big reasons why I think, you know, couple him with car chases and heists and fast-talking dialogue and even some great romance. I mean, this is the other thing. The romance in the film, if you're a lover of the type of film, if you're a lover of love, this is a movie for you as well, because it's kind of a pure romance where this kid, you know, he's trying to get out of this life of crime and he meets somebody. And then from there, this relationship develops and you kind of see now he really has a reason to get out of this life of crime, as opposed to just before, this perfunctory idea that, like, I'm paid up and I'm out. Now it's, I'm paid up, I'm out, and I want to be let go, and I want to be free, and I want to go explore and have the life that I've never been able to have.
High praise for Baby Driver from Blake Stubbs right here on the road with Dane. And a movie we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, a movie that has been around for a long time and giving us maybe too much, and too many things that maybe aren't as appreciated as they may have sort of been in the past, and they happened right here in Chicago. We're going to do Transformers. We're also going to talk a little bit about Spider-Man as well. So keep it here. It's 312-981-7200. On the road with Dane, 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane. And we are, in the summertime, you want to get out to the beach. You want to do whatever you can. A lot of times you find yourself in a nice air-conditioned movie theater where you can enjoy some selections. Always the ones that have at least been mentally curated by Blake Stubbs, who is in studio with us. We just talked about Baby Driver. The other one, when you think about, and here's a little couple of ways to kind of build in the car angle. A lot of these characters from other planets, I think they're from other planets. Got to be, right?
Cybertron.
Cybertron. Yeah. Yes, from the Cybertron.
I'm also a nerd, in case anybody was wondering.
Galaxy, yeah. Right? They turn into cars. Okay, cars, trucks, semis, you know it, before they come and destroy Chicago for the umpteenth time. And so, Blake, you got a chance to see the movie. Now, this is the kind of thing, when you have a film franchise that has transcended from what goes on the screen to what goes on kids' lunchboxes and toys, you know you've succeeded to some level, but have they succeeded in making a decent film this time?
No. this one really is a lot of, Now, you can go back and look at reviews from other critics.
You didn't say dumpster fire or
something. Yeah, it is a dumpster fire. Roger Ebert famously, you know, ripped into parts of this franchise. I completely agreed with him then. Now, here's the thing. To be fair, the first Transformers film I enjoyed because I got to see this thing from my childhood go from being a cartoon that I grew up with in a big budget, big sense. Like, you're willing to give it a pass where it sort of falls off, right. But because it's this new thing, it's this really cool visual treatment. And in a way, back then, I would have said Michael Bay, who is not really known for his storytelling, but is definitely known for his visuals.
Yes.
I would have said he's a fair choice to bring this big budget tentpole.
He can explode things. He can definitely show action scenes.
He can blow up explosions, man. Like, it's amazing what he's capable of doing at times. So I kind of felt like that was a good marriage between director and material at the time. I want to make sure people know I'm on record saying that. However, over time, these films have become less and less sensical. Like, they just, it's more like
did they always make sense?
No, not really. But
the folks from Cybertron.
The problem is that, you know, when you look back at the cartoon or you read comics or even toy lines, if all it ever was to you was a toy line, like, you could read the back of an action figure box and at least get a basic sense of the fact that these are, you know, aliens from a planet that died for the most part.
Gotcha.
And they've landed on Earth and now they're doing battle here, whereas one side wants to take over the planet, the other side is going to save us from that. The bad guys, the Decepticons, the Autobots versus the Decepticons. It's tale as old as time. It's this good versus evil battle. It's very basic, right? You would think that'd be pretty easy to sort of elaborate and build a mythos around for film.
Right.
By the time we get to this one, the only person who I think truly had fun being on camera or involved in this was Anthony Hopkins. I don't know that Sir Anthony Hopkins. Yes, he is in this film.
Because only Hannibal Lecter was evil enough to take out the Decepticons.
Right, yes. And for the most part, any point of exposition that tries to forward what this film puts together, some resemblance of a story, like, it comes out of his mouth. And so
Does he do that whole kind of, like, dialoguing where he's explaining it because it doesn't make any sense visually? Yeah. Like, so what we're doing here is...
Yeah, he has little elements of that, but also he's trying to connect all of these little elements that have been from previous films. So to say that it's a film you kind of have to know, as far as story goes, elements of the previous iterations, to then walk in and see this and have it be a little less confusing, it doesn't really apply. The movie globetrots so much. You don't really get enough time in one place to get a sense of where the narrative's going, and it just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And then by the time it's done, you're sitting there going, I don't even... I mean, the action sequences were okay. You know, they were cool. Like, I'm glad I got to see, you know, Optimus Prime whip some butt. And, you know, Josh Duhamel was in this because he's been in every one of them. Cool. You know, Mark Wahlberg is doing his best. And I do think that Mark Wahlberg, I like him. I'm a fan of Mark Wahlberg. But in this franchise, when he's given good things to work with, he does exceptionally well. And he wasn't given... you could give me a six-pack of Red Bull. I could chug it all right here. Give me a pen and a paper, and I'll do both sides. And if I never stop, that would probably make as much sense as this movie did. That's the easiest way to break down the
screenwriting,
the
six-pack of Red Bull screenwriting philosophy. So hold tight there, and I hope before the end of the program we get a chance to talk about Spider-Man, because I know I've had some family members see it and, mm-hmm. and really enjoy it, but kind of a mixed bag as far as what sure. people are loving and loving about it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll send it to news. It is 720 WGN.